said what?
How could they do something like that?
Are you serious?
What a thirsty MF-er.
Not good. She's absolutely dead to me.
That's because she died.
I'm Sterling Mulberry.
And I'm Blair Payton. And welcome to
Bad Behavior.
A morally questionable podcast.
We're two unqualified friends.
Two unhinged comedians.
Determined once and for all what is good.
And what is bad.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Bad Behavior. I'm Blair Payton.
And I'm Sterling Mulberry.
Sterling, how are you today?
I am good. I am recovering from an incident that took place this weekend that was hard for me. My best friend and I really wanted to go see Shania Twain at the Hollywood Bowl.
I love Shania Twain, but I wouldn't peg you for a Shania Twain girl.
I will say my friend is a little more interested in her.
Okay, there it is.
But I know I love Shania Twain. I think I
really name a song you love. Too long.
Party for Two.
Oh, Party for Two.
I'm having me a party.
Which version of Party of Two?
Hey, Mark.
Okay, Mark.
I'm having a party.
Okay.
I don't know. I can't remember the other version.
Billy Currington.
Oh, Billy. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we wanted to go see it. I had told her tickets. We kind of forgot to get tickets like a month ago, and it was like more reasonable. And I was like, look, I'm on Taylor Swift Eras Tour TikTok. Okay. I'm getting served every day being like, wait for the tickets, wait for the tickets. So I was like, the ticket sales will drop. Okay. I'm looking at SeatGeek. I'm on all the sites.
Okay.
And
I don't think she's quite at the level that Taylor is right now.
No. But I just like, I think I'm like, I don't know. I'm getting served a lot of like, how do you get concert tickets for less money kind of vibe, because everything is like so overpriced. So basically, day of, we're out and about, my best friend and I, and I'm refreshing. I'm like, these tickets are going to go down. They are going, only you'll never believe this, up. They're going up. It's now like $250 a ticket, which I'm like, nor.
Yeah.
So we only have one more hour until the concert. I'm at home. We're both getting ready to the concert just in hopes that something happens and tickets prices drop. I decide to go on Twitter.com, a site I really never use. And I search Shania Twain Hollywood Bowl. A little tweet pops up. And a girlie says, hey, I'm selling two tickets to Shania Twain's Hollywood Bowl concert tonight. I think incredible.
Oh,
my friend and I have been manifesting all day tickets, you know?
What did you look like when you were manifesting? Were you like laying down? Were your eyes closed? Were you doing position?
We kind of were at a brewery and we just cheers with our beers and said,
oh, well, that's a sign.
We're going to get tickets. Okay. We're going to get tickets. So I messaged this account. And this account had like a ton of Taylor Swift stuff on it. So I'm thinking, she's a girl's girl. Anthonia. Okay, so we're messaging. Everything seems chill.
Mm-hmm.
And the messages get a little weird. Okay. They're getting a little weird. The English is kind of not quite adding. I was like, hey, we'll pay you 70 if you and then send us the tickets and we'll pay you the other half just to make sure. Okay.
Okay.
She says, okay. So we try to pay 70. The account doesn't work. It was like, this person doesn't exist. Like, we were trying to send it with Zelle.
Okay.
Which we should have said red flag. Nope. I'm like, hey girl, this account didn't work. She's also sending me the craziest name. She's like, oh, this is not my account. This is my bestie. She kept using me like, this is my bestie.
No.
Yeah, not good. Okay. Then she sends us, I hate to be like this, the most Russian name I've ever seen in my life. We send the $70. You'll then never believe. I know listeners are saying, I know the end of this tale. I'm like, okay, great. Can you transfer the tickets? And she goes, no, you have to pay me the other 70. I was like, no, we kind of agreed to the above. She says, no, my mom says I'm getting scammed. She kind of does
flip
a
the
psychology.
Switch. Flip the switch.
She's like, you're scamming me. I said, but girl, you have my money. So how could I be the scammer? You know? So then I said, okay, you know what? I'm getting annoyed. The concert now starts in 10 minutes. I said, send me my money back if you're not a scammer. She's like, my friend's asleep. Because they're probably in Russia, okay? Anyways, basically go back and forth. I said, you've ruined my night. You're a terrible person. Because if you're scamming, you're a terrible person. But also, I guess, if they are kind of in Russia, probably not having the best time of their lives. So, but we kind of knew. We really knew.
I love that even though you got scammed, you're just like, you know, she's probably having it pretty hard. I should ease
but
up.
But you know what? And I don't even think it was a girly. I really think I was probably chatting with a man.
I know you had a bad day, but I had a bad day yesterday. And this really kind of annoyed me. So the other day I was at the gym. This guy comes in, I haven't seen him in a while, and he comes in, he was like, hey, how's it going? Haven't seen you in a while. And I was like, oh, well, I've been traveling. I went to Croatia. I went to see my niece in Nashville, who's graduating. She's moving here in the fall. And he was like, oh, that's so exciting. Is she going to be moving in with her Uncle Blaine? Mm. Now, my name is not Blaine. It is Blair. Okay?
Yes.
Now, this is not the first time he's gotten my name wrong, and I have corrected him. So he says this to me, and I was like, you do know my name is actually Blair. And he was just like, oh, I'm so sorry. I guess I just gave you a more masculine name. And I was like, you think Blaine is more masculine than Blair? He was like, oh, well, I was equating so it with Blair Waldorf of Gossip Girl. And I was like, okay, sure. Then he proceeds to defend himself by talking to the other guy at the gym, not making eye contact with me. And he was like, yeah, you know, it was so funny. I was talking about him the other day and I couldn't remember his name. And I was like, you know, he's the more feminine one.
Oh my God.
I understand I have feminine energy and that does not bother me. But the way he said it was just...
No, that's so rude.
Yeah, it just, the cadence in which he said it just felt like, I don't know, some sort of judgment. And
can you say this? What's his first name?
Well, his first...
What does it rhyme with?
Well, his first name's Mark.
Mark,
yeah.
Okay, get real. Mark is out. That is a basic name, and it's not even hot. Ew.
Okay, well, my middle name is Mark, so reel it in.
No, wait, really?
It really is, yeah. So.
Okay, no, actually, that's a really hot, really hot sexy
thank you,
name.
Nice save. Wow, I'm getting it from both ends right now.
Oh my God, what are the odds that you're enemy number one, and you guys have the same...
Mm-hmm.
Well, his first name and he's your middle name. You should have, when I was digging myself in that hole, you didn't kind of want to stop me?
No, I just wanted to see where you're going with it. And it just kept getting worse.
I was trying to defend my friend, but now I guess I'm also in the camp of villain.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's right in the middle of Pride Month. How do you feel about that? So I expect a full gift. I would like money through Zelle. I would like $70, ma'am, and a ticket to Shania Twain.
Oh my God. Well, I just want to loop back and say, PSA to Mark, don't attack our friend. And if you do,
or just remember
we're
gonna
my come name. To your gym.
It's not hard.
Or here's the thing. Here's a famous thing. If you actually don't know someone's name, you can really easily have a conversation without mentioning your name.
I've done it so much.
Yeah, we do it all the time. You say, oh, is she excited to live with her uncle? You could just leave it at uncle, not Uncle Blaine, you know?
I mean, we've done interviews on this show where I'm like, I can't remember their name. And I know Sterling introduced them. I'm being funny.
Oh, yeah, I remember everything.
I'm a Capricorn. I never forget. I'm still holding on to grudges, baby.
Speaking of pride, speaking of summer.
Speaking of grudges.
Of fun. Speaking of grudges, we are so excited to finally be able to announce that we have a live bad behavior show coming up in New York this summer. So mark your calendars, Saturday, July 15th at 9 p.m. at Littlefield. And Blair, we have a killer lineup. We have fan favorite Sam Taggart from Stradio Lab on the show. We have hilarious comedians Richard Perez and Joyelle Nicole Johnson. And we have Sabrina Breyer, who you may know from TikTok and Instagram. We absolutely love her videos.
It's going to be a sexy night of comedy. I'm going to wear something low cut and revealing. So
same.
If you want laughs, we're just really going to be showing off the goods, but yet being funny. So we're going to be approachable, but bangably hot.
Absolutely.
And that's what you want in a bad behavior show.
Yeah. So tickets will be in our bios, on our social medias, and also in the link in this podcast description. Now, another treat we have today is our guest. I feel like he's been a comedy hero of ours for truly years, so we're so excited to have him on the podcast today. You know him from his many comedy specials, The Chris Gethard Show, as well as his podcast, Beautiful Anonymous. Please welcome our guest today, Chris Gethard.
All right. Well, Chris, thank you so much for doing our podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm pretty good. I gotta say, I'm pretty good.
So one thing I wanted to ask you about, because me and Sterling were talking about before the recording, is when you were on the Manhattan Neighborhood Network.
Oh, yeah. It was the best. It was crazy and it was wild, but, you know, I've never been in an environment that offered more creative freedom to artists than the Manhattan Neighborhood Network. And I came up in the early 2000s in the New York alt scene. I mean, it was a pretty crazy time. So I don't say that lightly. I've performed in a lot of spaces where there were no rules and there was pure chaos. And, you know, I came up in the era of UCB that a lot of people were romanticizing and then disappointed they didn't also have. Like, I came up when...
Yeah, I think we kind of got the
you're wrong. Meeting those people right now.
I meet them all the time. And they ask me to answer for why things were the way they were all the time.
Why is my life terrible now?
Yeah, a lot of people put it on me.
That's why we have you on today, actually.
For sure. But, you know, I was there when it was chaos. So the Manhattan Neighborhood Network, I'll never forget. I think the story that explains it best was... there's these awards called the Hometown Media Awards, which a lot of the public access stations refer to as the Public Access Emmys. And we won a couple of them along the way, which was cool, which was flattering. One of the people who ran the network came by to one of our tapings after we won to say hi. And he was like, congrats and thanks for making us look good. And it's always cool to bring these home. And he goes, I hear your show is very good. And I was feeling kind of cocky in that moment. And I was like, what do you mean? You hear it's very, like, we're winning awards. We're getting press.
Yeah,
like,
it is good. This is the award.
You got to check it out. And he goes, well, actually, I don't watch any programming on any of our four networks. And I was like, but aren't you one of the people in charge? And he goes, well, I'm one of the people who has the ability to cancel shows. So all of us who have the ability to cancel shows have agreed that we don't watch the shows, because then our personal taste or our personal politics or ethics might come into play in our decisions. We wait until we get complaints from the community, and then we will look into them to see if any rules have been broken. But otherwise, it's not in the best interest of the network for me to watch the shows, because I have the ability to tinker with things.
I was telling Sterling around this time, so I lived in Virginia, and around this time, I was able to get a show that I did from my hometown on MNN. And I feel like had they been watching it, we wouldn't have lasted as long as we did. They were so great. The few times I reached out to them, although it was actually the first time we came to New York, we wanted to go to a bar and watch the premiere. And we went to, we're a bunch of Southerners. And we're like, hi, we'd like to watch a Manhattan Neighborhood Network. The bartender had no idea what we were talking about. So
there's an undercurrent of New Yorkers that are sort of obsessed with it, but by and large, no one pays any attention at this point in history. Mm-hmm. But I mean, if you guys want to talk about conflict.
Yeah, how would you handle it?
Well, there are people who are MNN lifers. And I want to be clear. Most of the programming on there, I actually came to really love it. Like, there's a lot of stuff that'll be, you know, here's a group of people from Spanish Harlem, and the things happening in the neighborhood aren't showing up even on New York One, let alone on NBC, Fox, ABC, and they're going to run a news show where they interview local community. Great. And then also the types of maniacs that give it a reputation for being crazy. And there were a group of people who came to really dislike me, who viewed me as something of like the golden boy. And they viewed me as a Hollywood interloper because I had been on traditional television before. They used to come to our show and stand in the back and stare at us with their arms crossed. There's one guy who once walked onto our set and removed a piece of furniture while we were live on TV and said it belonged in the other studio. And then they used to put us on these group emails where there'd be, when I tell you 150 people who had shows at MNN, and they would say things like, quoting other people, lines saying things like, he has his Jewish agents pulling the strings so he can break all the rules around here. Like actual conspiratorial, anti-Semitic, really wild stuff. And
holy God.
I got very, very good. There was one woman who wrote and said, you know, I don't think his show has any place on our network because he's on the Culture Channel. That was my channel. There's four MNN channels. I think there's more now, but I was on MNN Culture. It was, what does this show have to do with New York culture? And I said, well, you know, the first stand-up clubs were in New York. Comedy has a long lineage in New York. Yeah. We could trace the history of comedy, and it's always been tied to New York City. So I think a comedy show has a place. And I go, I don't really see what your show has to do with New York culture, but I don't begrudge your right to have the show. And I found a clip of her show that was her interviewing an admitted child molester about how he could travel between dimensions. And I was like, so I don't really get what this is about, but you're allowed to make it. And I'm not gonna, and I'd send those out reply all because they wouldn't BCC anyone ever. And I'd just get in these fights with these people. And it led, strangely enough, to me being named as a defendant in a court case that ultimately went to the United States Supreme Court. That is not an exaggeration. So conflict, yes, let's talk.
What?
Wow.
You know what? We have yet to have someone on this podcast who has had a court case go to the Supreme Court.
Sadly, my name was removed from the case before it got up to the Supreme Court, but I was an original defendant.
Were you excited to go? I mean,
it was nuts. No, we did, they asked us to do their election coverage in 2012 and 2016, and we did these 12-hour broadcasts. And the guy who I mentioned who removed the furniture, he was bumped for our 12-hour broadcast, and he was furious. So that's why he was walking on our set, causing all this trouble. And he sued them and said that they had basically violated his free speech rights because it's a community platform, it's public access, they shouldn't be able to bump him. It's actually very fascinating because the basic question became, is something like a public access studio akin to a town square where someone can go and yell crazy stuff and be protected, or is it a private facility that you can be removed from? Which my understanding is that when the case went to the Supreme Court, it's one of the reasons that Donald Trump was allowed to be removed from Twitter. It's one of the reasons that Twitter and Facebook are not considered public areas, that they're private companies, is this case. And to be fair, the guy did originally list me as white comedian Rick Gethard in the papers I was served. He's also white, by the way. He's also white. But I was served papers in the green room of my off-Broadway show when I was doing it back in 2016, 2017.
Wait, so you're allowed to get served papers even if it's not kind of famously your name?
It was so weird. And by that point, my TV show was on cable. And one of the things he was demanding was that as payment, he be allowed to host an episode of my show on cable television and pick the musical guest. And I was like, wow. 100%, please let the United States court system mandate that this guy, this lunatic, have to host a show with my name on it. Please let me have a, like, can you imagine the first 30 seconds of a show, me like, so everybody, I lost a court case and now this legitimately unhinged man gets to host the show with my name on it and I'm not allowed to say a word about it. That would have actually been a dream episode for me. So
yeah.
I was mad that, but the Manhattan Neighbor Network said our lawyers will handle this and they had me removed as one of the accused.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
We have a game for you today that we play on the podcast called Heaven or Hell. And this is a game where we take a topic and we have some examples under this topic and you're going to be deeming them heaven for you, hell, or if you have kind of ambivalence, purgatory. So our topic is going to be different kind of New Jersey-based behaviors or like famous kind of things about New Jersey.
Great.
Okay, Blair, do you want to kick us off?
I would love to. Thank you, Sterling. Number one. Someone at the gas station having to pump your gas.
Oh, that's heaven for a Jersey person. Mm. We don't pump our own gas around here.
Well, yeah.
Why is that?
My understanding is that at the end of the day, it's just job creation.
Okay. Do you make small talk while they're pumping your gas or no? Is that weird?
No, generally no. It's a very, okay. It's very New Jersey in that it is, there's a whole shorthand language of what you're going to ask for. I mean, it won't even take 10 seconds for you to know if you're paying card or cash and how much you want and what grade you want, and then everything's done.
Okay.
These are quick, simple interactions.
Okay.
So going to other states, you kind of wish they were kind of doing that.
Well, I mean, I remember when I started driving and the first time I pumped my own gas and I was terrified I was going to make the car explode. I honestly didn't know how. I thought something really bad could happen.
No, I get that.
So I figured it out eventually. But I mean, especially in these winter times, you don't have to get out. And, you know, you don't have to get out. You get to roll the window back up with the heat on and you don't have to stand out there. You don't have to stand out there in the rain or a thunderstorm or in the middle of the night. This is pretty sweet. We're pretty coddled in that way.
You're just like Paris Hilton in a limo, you know?
We are definitely, it is one of the ways in which Jersey people are weird. For people who pride themselves on being kind of like rough around the edges, working class, we do really like to be pampered in the gas sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. I love that. Okay. A friend inviting you and your family down to the shore for the weekend. Would that be an amazing invitation or maybe not so much?
I would say this is a trick question. Because it's an amazing invitation and the shore is heaven, but you don't get invited down to the shore, you get invited down the shore. So if they invited me down the shore, I'd say, you tell me where are we going? Point Pleasant, Lavalette, LBI, say the word. If they said, would you like to come down to the shore? I would assume it was a trap being set by an outsider using incorrectly.
So it's the way in which you say it.
When you say down to the shore, I immediately know you are not from New Jersey and this is a trap and I need to be wary.
Okay.
I guess we always thought in New York, I really thought we got invited down to the shore the one time we got.
So it's down to the shore.
Down the shore. You want to come
down the shore.
Do you want to come down the shore? Would be how it would be said. It would not be, would you like to come down to the shore? It would be, you want to come down the shore.
So to ask you, I would need to say, hey, bro, would you like to go down the shore?
Yeah, yeah. We're getting a house down the shore. If you want to come a few nights, you should come hang out.
Great.
I think we went, I think we went, when we did go to the shore, we went to Seaside Heights. Seaside Heights.
Oh, Seaside Heights. That's the classic. I mean, that's the most fucked up party section of the Jersey Shore, yeah.
Do you ever go to the Snooki Shop?
I have not. There's one not far from my house, which is astounding that she's in like real towns with downtowns and they let that stand. But I have not been, no.
You should check it out. She has her own lotions.
Ooh.
Snooki lotions.
Ooh.
She's got her own sunglasses. So.
Okay.
Okay. A pal bringing over a breakfast spread of pork rolls.
Well, for me, that's, first of all, again, it's pork roll. It's not pork rolls. And secondly, for me, that's hell because I'm a North Jersey person. So I would call it Taylor ham. There's a very big fight in the state. South Jersey people like to call it pork roll. We like to call it Taylor ham. Sort of like pork roll would be like saying tissues. Taylor ham would be like saying Kleenex. That would be the analogy. It's like more of a brand. But I think that fight is waning. So I'm a vegetarian, so it's a little bit of a moot point. But if somebody insisted on calling it pork roll in North Jersey, I would think they were being a dick.
Now, is pork roll just like a ham biscuit?
No, pork roll is not. Okay. You're I think, envisioning a biscuit with some sort of meat product in the middle. It's...
Yes.
Pork roll, or Taylor ham, as I call it, is just the meat product itself. Probably the closest thing that I can, probably the thing in your mind that would be closest would be like a Canadian bacon. Imagine a very low-grade meat, but in a circular, thick cut, a la Canadian bacon. Yeah.
Mm. We had one, Blair. We had
Did
one.
Did we?
Yeah, when we were down on the shore.
You were not down on the shore, Sterling. You were not down to the shore. You were not down on the shore. You were down the shore.
So wait, are you saying if we auditioned to play people from New Jersey, we wouldn't get it? Is that the assumption? Like,
you remember in Inglourious Basterds when he's outed as a non-German because he uses the incorrect hand signal?
Okay.
There's tells all over. I appreciate that you guys have made it Jersey-centric for me. But
we're failing. And you'll never believe this. My mother and my grandparents are from New Jersey.
Whereabouts?
Really? They're from Ridgewood.
Oh yeah, Bergen
County.
So right
next to like Paramus.
Yeah, I know it well. They got the blue laws up there on Sundays.
And I have a friend from Jersey. I don't like to brag, but here I am.
Do you know where?
It's the part that's near the water.
Okay, so this is a very tight friend.
I used to work with her. She loves wrestling. Is there a specific part of Jersey that loves wrestling?
Most of Jersey loves wrestling, yeah.
Okay, so she's from all of Jersey.
Yeah, so. Great.
Okay, number four. A friend insisting that Central Jersey exists.
At this point, that's totally fine. At this point, that's fine. That's real. That's another big fight, but yeah. It was explained to me. There's a great writer for the newspaper in New Jersey. His name's Pete Genovese. Brilliant guy. He explained it to me. Central Jersey is every county that starts with M except Morris, as well as Somerset and Hunterdon counties. That's Central Jersey. And if he says it, I trust it.
All right, our next one. New Jersey Transit during SantaCon.
Holy shit, hell on earth. Hell on earth. Especially if you're passing through Hoboken or Asbury Park. Those two towns in particular, just overrun by the drunken Santa nonsense. Really bad, really bad.
Now, I've never been to SantaCon, so is it just everyone's dressed as Santa and they're drunk, right?
I was in Asbury Park once accidentally there during SantaCon, and it's just people, it's like, imagine, yeah, it's just a made-up thing where frat and sorority people dress up as Santa and get blackout drunk.
Is it just Santa, or is there anyone else from the catalog of the North Pole that they're dressed
I think
as?
It's mostly just Santa. I can't believe you've never seen them in...
I never leave my apartment.
Yeah, it's not a good scene. It's not a good thing. Although, Hoboken on... I would say SantaCon is really bad, but St. Patrick's Day is just as bad in Hoboken.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. I think they maybe even stopped doing St. Patrick's Day in Hoboken because it was such a drunken mayhem of an experience. Yeah.
A friend saying that they don't like Wawa. You're on a road trip. You say, hey, should we just stop for a little? And they're like, oh, I don't like Wawa.
To get some of the pork rolls?
Yeah. To take some of the pork rolls down to the shore. Yeah. Those sounds like robots infiltrating New Jersey. I would say it depends on the reason. In South Jersey, Wawa is really beloved. It's less of a thing in North Jersey. If the reason they don't love Wawa is because they're firmly in the quick check camp, that's a big fight in Jersey. So that's one thing. If they don't like Wawa just because they think it's somehow bad, that's ridiculous. Wawa is pretty great. Yeah, that's hell. That's hell dealing with that person.
Okay. And our grand finale, Zach Braff. Heaven or hell?
Okay. I mean, he's from South Orange. I'm from West Orange.
Okay.
Garden State. Well, I've been on record saying, like, that movie was what it was. It had a lot of buzz when it came out. I was a little mad that he claimed the title Garden State for it. Like, it was a little pretentious to be labeled Garden State. But this brings up all sorts of stuff of, like, you can't be mad at Zach Braff for being pretentious in a state where we all just give Kevin Smith 8 million passes for whatever he wants to do, and we love him to death. So I got no problem with Zach Braff. I got no problem with him. I'm just a little... Garden State should be a movie that's rough around the... That should be the name of a movie that's like rough around the edges in a way that that movie's not. And I think there's a little bitterness amongst Jersey people that that movie was a little pretentious, and he put the name Garden State on it. That name should have been reserved for something a little more rough and tumble than that. But that's okay. And he's done right. And you know what? He comes back and he films in Jersey too. So he brings those union jobs for crew members and actors and gets money spent in local economies. So he comes back and films here. So he does right by the state.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Well, that was our game. How fun was that?
I loved it. I loved it. I feel like you guys probably came up with that thinking it would be charming. And then we're like, oh, he'll actually talk about all of these fucking things for way too long.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
So I was trying to think, like, what's a bad behavior that I actually do? And there's something I do where in my mind I sit here and I go, that's not bad.
Okay.
But I've never told anyone in my life about it.
Well, we'll judge.
Oh my God.
And I'm hesitant. It's nothing. It's not huge. Here's the thing. It's not huge.
But it may actually be the second you get it out of your mouth. You're going to be like, oh my God, I can't believe I said this. But no pressure.
It's also like, I'm pretty certain that for a 43-year-old father... like with a mortgage who pays taxes, this is just a weird, very weird choice to consistently make in one's life. And I'm giggling. It's also weird because, I mean, I've talked publicly about a lot of very personal and dark stuff. And for some reason, this I really don't want to put out there. And I don't know why, because I think you're going to hear it and go, that's fine.
Yeah, yeah.
If a little weird. So it's a real man versus nature situation.
Sure.
Okay.
Well, one thing that I do... on a rather consistent basis and have for literally my whole life that I've never told anyone about is this. If I am, there's times where between, you know, the career and being a dad and being a husband and this and that, where time is at a minimum. Mm-hmm. So there's times where I wind up like running out the door to try to get to New York City for a show and I haven't eaten yet. So I will sometimes eat while I'm driving. And consistently, if I am eating and I am done with something and there is some left over,
oh no,
I have no qualms and in fact sort of look forward to driving past a wooded area so I can fling garbage out of the car into the woods. And I know that it's kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. And I feel like anyone would see that and go, stop doing that. But in my mind, I go, this is all biodegradable stuff.
Okay.
But I don't know why I get a sick glee out of it. And all I would need to do is just put it on the floor and wait until I stop and then go to a garbage can. And generally, if I'm driving in this situation, it's because I'm running late to New York City where there's a garbage can on, let's be clear, every single corner.
Yeah.
I know I'm going to see a garbage can within an hour, within 40 minutes. But if I have a pizza crust, uh-huh. an apple core, a banana peel, pretty much any grab and go food.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will, in a way that I sometimes find concerning, have a sick amount of glee that I get to just fling garbage out of the window of a moving car.
Well, how far are you driving to throw your stuff out the window?
I would say...
And do you have a designated wooded area?
I had a feeling you guys might ask that. There are two wooded areas on the way out of my town.
Okay.
And that there have been times where if I'm eating... Because, again, this is generally like... What will happen is either something will have unfolded in my household, usually involving my four-year-old son, where now I'm leaving later than I want to, or I look at the phone and traffic has changed and built up and I'm like, shit, I'm going to be late. So now I'm just grabbing a dinner and I'm running to the car. I will tell you there are two specific wooded areas on my way out of my town where I will sometimes eat fast because I know if I finish before I get to them, that I will fling them in those two specific areas.
Okay. Uh-huh.
I also had another one, a third one, but I realized it's a little too close to the edge of my own neighborhood and one of my neighbors could see, because I drive a car that's pretty distinct in my neighborhood because a lot of people around here have a lot more money than I do and I'm driving a 2005 Honda, so it stands out.
Okay.
So I think they already might view me as a garbage person, let alone if they saw actual garbage flying from the windows of my car. So I drive a little further. I will go full speed. I will roll down the passenger side window. And then I will drive with my left hand, and with my right hand, I will fling garbage at anywhere from 40 to 60 miles an hour.
Now, are you doing a quick look around to see if anyone's going to see you do this?
If there's someone walking a dog, I do not do it. So this means that I do view it as something to be judged. Mm-hmm. It's something that, and it's something, if I was walking down the street and saw this, I would think that I would be aghast at that person's behavior. For some reason, when it's my turn, I can't resist the urge.
I guess on a given week, given month, how many times is this occurring?
I would say 2 to 3 times. And can I tell you another secret if we're just putting it all out there?
Yeah.
So like tonight, right now, we're taping this and it's coming up on 5 p.m. I have a show in Brooklyn at 8 p.m. with the great Martin Urbano. I'm going to have to leave around 6. I don't know that I'm going to have time to eat. Mm-hmm. And is it bad if I tell you guys that there's almost a part of me that's excited? That I might get to do this. I'm not throwing plastic. I'm not throwing cans. It's just food refuse.
Just food. Okay.
Yeah. That's
what are you doing with the trash? It's just piled up in your car?
That's the really crazy part too. Is like, let's say I had, like right now, you see, I'm drinking a soda. Let's see, I had a can of soda and a banana.
Okay.
Yeah.
I will fling that banana peel.
Okay.
Yeah.
The can will come with me when I exit the car like a normal human being and I will walk to the nearest trash can in New York and I will throw it out. It's a thing I'm going to do anyway. And I didn't even think about that before that last question, Blair.
Interesting.
That I am going to a trash can more often than not because there's other trash in the car. But if it's food refuse, I would almost still go so far, and I know this is a phrase that has a lot of meat on its bones. I would go so far as to say I almost get jazzed up about it.
Okay.
Now, okay, so you're doing this a few times a month. So that means you're passing by these spots. Maybe you're even driving past these spots, not during this kind of occurrence. But when you're driving past your famous kind of two wooded areas, post like maybe a few days if you pass them, like is the stuff always gone? Do you ever see your remnants?
It generally makes it far enough into the woods. And I'll also say this too. I moved to an area of New Jersey that's much farther west than most of the artists move to. Like if you're in the tri-state area, a lot of people will move to Maplewood or Montclair. Those are the two big Jersey towns that the artists like to go to, or the towns just surrounding them. Those are towns where, you know, your traditional suburban, a bunch of houses on a block. I moved out much further west, so it's a farther drive. But there are more patches. When I say wooded area, it's genuine woods. I'm not throwing it onto somebody's lawn or somebody's backyard. Nobody has to look at it. It's going to either go away or an animal's going to come by and eat it.
Okay.
You could even say I'm feeding the local wildlife in a way. maybe there's some altruistic tendencies here. Who knows?
Now, a majority of the time when you're running late, is the cause generally because of your child? Or is it also work related?
It's either work ran a little late,
mm-hmm.
or my kid did something where I couldn't leave when I wanted to.
Yeah.
Or I looked at the traffic app earlier in the day and it said it was going to be an hour, and now it's saying it's going to be an hour 40. I got to sprint out the door.
Now, here's my big kind of conundrum I feel like that I'm kind of rolling around in my head is, it seems like this is bringing you a lot of joy. And it seems like this is an impulse that is just within you that could go more towards ill. And so is this kind of behavior that maybe isn't the greatest in the world kind of keeping you from doing something else that could be worse? You know, a little, like, you're able to rebel a tiny bit and use this thing that really isn't so bad and, like, scratch whatever itch.
That's a very astute question. I'm telling you, you just helped a thought fully form in my head that had not fully formed prior to this, which is this. So I mentioned, like, I drive the shittiest car in my neighborhood. And I'm not going to claim poverty. Like, I hosted a TV show on cable for 3 years. I had an HBO special. I've sold a couple books. Like, I've had a respectable career. But I will say, as an artist, I've never had a career where it's consistent. Like, I have some spikes along the way, right? So I can tell you in full honesty that what I did was took all the money I made from my TV show and I bought this house. And that's, I think, what you're supposed to do. But I'm not rolling in dough.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I have a stable life and I have a nice house.
Mm-hmm.
And I will say there might be a part of me, a little part of me, because I'll tell you something. Like, my grandparents, who lived a couple blocks away from me, were Irish immigrants. And my grandfather worked stocking shelves at an A&P supermarket. And my dad worked at the same A&P supermarket as he worked his way through state school. And then I later went to a state school as well. And I've always had a little bit of pride in that. And a little bit of, I think there's a part of me that enjoyed growing up in a way that was a lot more blue collar or working class or however you want to put it than I'm living now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And there might be some small part of me, even in my 40s, that's really ashamed to admit, because there's some wealth in my area.
Mm-hmm.
And there might be a part of me that likes throwing some garbage around.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
There might be some deep-rooted class conflict stuff that's
keeping it humble.
And that's when it's where it starts to get really ludicrous, though. It's like, if a cop saw me do this and pulled me over, he'd be like, you're 43. And there's a part of me that is a little bit like, fuck these rich people. Everything's too nice here. Let me just throw an apple core on the ground. There is a part of me that probably feels that. And it ties into everything you just asked, Sterling. I want to be clear. I'm aware. For me to say, like, this is somehow my effort to stick it to rich people I live amongst, not the best look towards me. Mm-hmm. Also, these people are my neighbors and friends.
Okay.
Many of them are kind to me and my son.
Do you know
wife.
Them by name?
So, I mean, all the people who live in my immediate neighborhood are truly great people. And I live in this neighborhood that I can't stress enough is like an actual community where we all know each other and look out for each other, look out for each other's kids. These are good people.
Name two people right now without thinking.
Oh, Jerome and Katie right
okay.
down the block.
Okay.
Yeah.
I believe you.
Their kid is my kid's best friend.
Okay.
We got Blake and Margaret right across the way. But that's, as I said that one out loud, I did realize as I was hearing myself, I was saying, that part's very sad. That part's very sad.
But it was weighing on your heart and you had to put it out there. You had to get it off your chest. So.
Well, you're both very good in that you're quite gentle about these conversations.
Yeah.
And I do sort of wish I hadn't said that part, but that's okay. I said it.
After hearing your story and all the details and the factors that you presented to us, I'm leaning towards good behavior.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It sounds like you're just trying to do your best in the world. And if anything, it's your son who's causing you to be late all the time. So this is a conversation.
No, this sweet little boy. He's just a kid.
You know what? Kids grow up fast.
4 years
they know
old.
Things.
No, he should know.
They know things.
Oh, no.
Does he know how to read a book?
Not even close, no.
Well, he will in a week. That's how much I believe in him. Yeah.
Okay.
So, and you know, with work running late and you're just out there grabbing meals on the go, just trying to do your best. And then when you're like, hey, I don't want the rest of this. I'm going to give it to nature. Animals aren't getting food in nature. They're starving. And you are feeding them bread, something that they would never get. They're not even allowed on New York streets. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You're giving them the delicacies of Jersey and New York. So I'm saying good behavior.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. I'll take
it. Blair.
Yeah.
Now, I have a little... I'm going in the same direction, but in a different way.
Okay.
Now, I have to reveal something that is this. When I was in high school, this just jogged kind of a little memory. When I was in high school, I was pretty straight edge, which means I also kind of had an itch sometimes to kind of rebel, but in not a crazy way. And so my friend and I, we'd get out at 2:45 p.m. We'd go to my parents' house, and my best friend and I would take two eggs from our fridge, and we would get in my car. A Prius, a 2008 Prius, or not even mine, my parents. And we would drive in my little town, also a very cute town, all the neighbors looking out for each other. I love my town. And we would throw these eggs just at a tree, not in anyone's yard, just at a tree. And we would say, we're going egging, but just two eggs. And that is not good. That's probably worse. That no one can eat. And we're just using eggs. 3 p.m. on a Wednesday, I don't know why we were doing this. It really brought us so much joy. I think it made us feel a little edgy. And I'm sure it maybe it kept us out of trouble. And so I just want to say, I don't want to stand on some moral high ground and be like, you're
we're in it together.
You're throwing food out their car. I'm like, I was throwing eggs. I was throwing eggs that I wasn't even buying because.
But you were how old?
I was in high school. I was in high school.
I also want to note that you in high school were driving a 2008 car, and I currently drive a car from 2005.
Maybe it was younger. I don't know. Yeah, well. Yeah, I think I'm leaning good. I think it's itching something that needs to be itched. It's not really hurting anybody. I think as long as we're not throwing out any plastics, any non-biodegradables, I say this. The world's a harsh place. Give us little joys along the way. And so I'm leaning good.
Okay.
All right. So, Chris, you've been officially deemed
good behavior.
I'll take it. I'm feeling great now.
So we believe the best gift in life you can get is a compliment from your therapist. And as much as I try to fish one out of mine, she just won't give it to me. And it hurts my feelings. Me and Sterling are going to give you this gift that we think is so special. So just think of us as your therapist giving you a compliment.
Okay.
All right. As your therapist, I recognize that what I'm about to say may be a little unorthodox, but it's pure and simple, and you must realize that it's coming from my heart and not my head. I love you. I honestly love you.
Wow, they crossed some ethical lines.
Now, Blair wrote this and read it to me, and then he says, did you get the reference? I said, no. Did you get a reference in this?
No, I did not.
Yeah, I didn't. No, where I was like, that's too deep of a cut.
I don't think it's Olivia Newton-John.
Okay.
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 Well, before we wrap up today, it's been such a treat to have you on. Can you tell our listeners where to follow you, any upcoming shows or anything to plug?
Yeah. Chris Geth on Instagram and Chris Gethard on Twitter. And I'm taking a lot of the summer off to just hang out with my kid, but I do have shows in Oklahoma and Texas in August because I hear that's the best time to hit up Oklahoma and Texas. It's the dead of August. So chrisgeth.com if you want the links to all those tickets.
And that's our show. Thanks so much for listening today.
We absolutely hate to do this. We hate it.
But it would mean the world to us if you can subscribe to the podcast wherever you get podcasts, rate and review.
Follow us at Bad Behavior NYC on Instagram and TikTok. Thanks again for listening.
And remember, whatever your moral status, we are always here to judge.
Bye.
Do you think that was good?